I'm Tom from the Ballpark Bros. Here's Mike.
This next presentation on the Four Eyed Radio Network is brought to you by Revenge Lover. Stand out from the crowd. For more information, visit RevengeLover.com and mention the podcast for 10% off on your order.
You've entered Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast.
Welcome to episode 22 of Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast on the Four Eyed Radio Network. Now time to catch them all with your host. I'm Kyle, also known as Deadpool Ranger, and I'm Team I Hate Snow.
And I'm Doug, also known as Icky Booley, and I've lived in the Midwest my whole life, so it's pretty cool.
We'll get into that in just a second. But first, to listen to the show, you can find us on 4EyedRadio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zune Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Miro Guide, Pod Directory, Double Twist, Swell Radio, Player FM, and Google Play Music. This podcast is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs, illustrations and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RevengeLover.com. Yeah, folks, I if you've ever heard of Cabin... fever, space madness, something where you're stuck in a confined space and you can't escape. That's what I have. Here in Virginia Beach and whatnot, we had a little blizzard. We got a whole 10 inches, which I know to some people is nothing. That's golfing weather for you, probably. But here in Virginia Beach, we are so, so ill-prepared that the ice is going to be here for some time. And the snow and whatnot, because the city only has two snow plows. They go one direction one day, and then they go the other direction the next day. it's horrible. So we get 1 inch, and schools shut down completely. Trust me. It's bad. It's bad.
Like I mentioned, I'm from the Midwest, so we get snow all the time. And so it's not necessarily that people are better about it. We're just more prepared mm-hmm. for it. And the one time I kind of experienced what you're talking about is when I went to Washington, D.C. and Alexandria, Virginia, like I think in mid-February or something. And it had snowed like an inch and everything was shut down.
Yeah, it's horrible. And you're just like, guys, this is
there's
nothing.
No plows.
Yeah, no. One, we also have horrible drivers even in just regular summertime
regular weather.
Regular weather, rain, snow, gentle breeze flying by. Yeah, we have horrible, horrible drivers. So this just makes things even worse. Yeah, so I've been stuck here. Thankfully, I have my wife with me, so it's not like I'm just talking to the cats by myself. That would just be super weird.
But we're going to get through this.
Yes, so we're going to get through
this. I believe in you.
I've had to call. Now, normally, I'd be super stoked for like a 4-day weekend from work, but I've already had to call out of work twice. And yeah, and thankfully, I have personal days, so I don't lose any hours or money or whatever. But the year just started. It was 5 days old, and I've already had to use 2 personal days. To me, I kind of feel like it just doesn't feel right, but it's over with now. And I get to talk to Doug and have human contact with another human being. That's not
Hi.
My wife.
I'm here.
Yes. Yes. But, no, all right. So enough about me for now. We'll get back to me in a little bit.
I think this whole podcast should actually just be you processing your cabin fever. Just like 60 minutes straight of
mine. Have you ever watched Big Bang Theory?
I have not. I've seen like a little bit, and I'd probably know some characters, but I have not watched it, no.
All right. There's an episode where the character Howard goes into space, and he gets space madness from being stuck in a saddle or in a spaceship, whatever,
for so long. I actually knew he went to space because I read an article about how they did that. Anyway. Yeah.
And he just like kept talking to like a webcam to his wife and his friends, and he's just like he just starts going super crazy and like – his astronaut buddies drug him so he's a little bit calmer, but it just makes him even crazier. And
I did not know that's what happened.
Yeah, he goes to his, he's talking to his wife. He's like, all right, I need you to go back to my old bedroom. Inside of there is a model rocket. I want you to build one at a larger proportion and come up and get me. It was just so crazy, but I kind of know how it is a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to you being like, build me a snowplow or something like that and come save me.
That's what I was going to say. Like, by 30 minutes into this, Kyle's going to have like a blueprint of a snowplow.
Yeah, so build this.
Get over here.
Actually, last night, my wife and I, there's a restaurant down the road that we could walk to. So we went there. It was Texas Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So finally got out of the house a little bit last night, which was nice.
Makes a difference.
But yeah. Anyways, all right. Again, enough about me. Doug, how are you? How was your holidays?
Oh, I'm good. My holidays were pretty chill. I went to visit my parents, which are 6 hours away, and stayed there for a bit. Got to see my lovely furred friends and my cat and my dog, which is fun. My sister was home, so that was cool. And I thought I was going to, like, do all the things because I always make the mistake of bringing home, like, a billion things to do, and I did none of the things. I was like, I'm going to play so much Breath of the Wild, it's going to hurt. And I played, like, zero Breath of the Wild. It's going to take me forever. If there's one thing we've learned, it's that I play video games very slowly.
It's okay. I mean, you
still... I'm working on it. Resolution.
Yeah.
One thing at a time, Doug.
I mean, you still have to work on your beating the Elite Four and Ultra Moon.
Yeah.
And I think I'm like 40 Pokemon away from catching them all in the Pokedex that's in the game.
Yeah, so I was looking, Kyle kept asking, and I'm actually really appreciative that you were, kept asking, like, how far have you gotten? Like, are you there yet? Which is good, because then it reminds me to, like, keep going, because otherwise I'll lose track of what day it is. But I spent the last 2 days doing pretty much nothing but playing Ultra Moon, completely underestimated or forgot how much is on the second, or the third and the fourth island. So I've done everything except the Elite Four, and that's because my team is a mess, which we could get into now or we could get into later. I don't care which one, but it makes no sense.
In a second. But we got a few other things like Pokemon Go. They had a little event for ice-type Pokemon. They released more water and ice types. I've caught a ton of Sfeels.
Yeah.
I caught a ton of Snorunts. Evolved Snorunt into Glalie. I love Glalie. It's one of my favorite ice types.
Have I told you, like, my irrational vendetta against Glalie?
No, and I cannot wait to hear this.
I was playing Pokemon Shuffle, I think it is, on my phone for a while. And it took me, like, a week. Like, a literal week to beat Glalie, who I think was, like, a, quote, boss. And I was so sick of looking at its face.
Nice.
But that's like a very context-specific grudge. Otherwise, Glalie, you're cool.
Yeah. Let's see. I caught a Whalmer. I've only caught one. Now,
dang.
For those who haven't caught a Whalmer and haven't heard about it, Whalmer is the new Magikarp, where you need to cap. You need 400 candies to evolve Whalmer into Wailord.
Which is strange.
Yes. And unfortunately, I have not seen nearly as many Whalmers as I have Magikarp.
Of course.
So... we'll see how well that goes. I've already got Treecko and Torchic evolved.
Oh, nice. I have just Treecko and Mudkip. I've only seen them enough times to catch them, but not evolve.
I've seen all three. I've got a Mudkip. So I've got Groovile, and I've got Combusken, and now I'm working on their final evolutions.
Dang, dude.
Finally got a Dustox. Still need to get a Beautifly.
I just got a Wurmple for the first time the other day.
Oh,
it's like the first time I saw it.
My whole area, I'm just every time I go out, like if it rains or whatever, there's so many bugs out. Which I love the new weather effects; it's great. And during the blizzard, I found out that they limit the Pokemon because it'll be like, "Hey, it's
dangerous
outside."
You don't go outside.
Exactly. way to limit the poke, which I think is a genius idea. Because I don't want to see the news and be like, well, such and such person went outside and was killed while he was trying to hunt down a Pokemon.
Froze to death. Yes. Can we? Okay. I don't know if this is. Do you have a spoink? Have you caught a spoink?
Yes, I have.
Is yours like ridiculously strong?
I don't think so.
Or at least high leveled, I guess. The ones I've found, I've only found two, but they're both like really, like one of mine is 938.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I guess that's not ridiculous, but it's really high.
That's awesome.
I know, I'm really excited for when I can finally evolve that.
Aren't they a pain to catch, though? Because like the bouncing, just so much bouncing.
Yeah, because as we have learned from the Pokedex, if a Spoink stops bouncing, it dies.
Yes, which I did actually know that.
Heart can't pump on its own.
Yes.
We should do an entire episode about Pokedex entries. Can we please do an entire episode about Pokedex entries?
Yes. Like, have you read some of the things from the Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon entries?
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous and kind of creepy and cool at the same time. Like,
so weird.
Yes. Like, there's things on, like, Mega Evolution that you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to do Mega Evolution again. Like, for one, like Tyranitar, like, I don't remember the exact wording, but when Tyranitar Mega Evolves, the energy is so much that it causes, like, it's the parts to flare out of, like, its armor to flare out and, like, breaks skin. So, like, you'll see, like, little breaks in or whatever, and it's just so much pain that it's in that eventually all it knows is just the rage of battle that's keeping it alive right now.
That's terrifying because I just evolved my Pupitar, finally. The Pokedex entry for just a regular Tyranitar is that it, like, destroys mountains and cities. So, like, making that angrier seems like a poor choice.
You have Tyranitar on your team, too?
Yes. Well, team is a loose term in my case, but yes.
Nice. I got a Tyranitar on mine as well. That's awesome.
Awesome. Yay.
Yay. But, Pokemon Go, it's been fun again. I had like over 200 Pokeballs, Great Balls and Ultra Balls, and I'm now down to nothing.
Dang.
Because like I've just been like catching everything I can. Because again, like you need to capture as many of the same Pokemon to evolve it.
Yeah.
Eventually, it'll die down and I won't be using nearly as many, but you know, till then.
Well, we did get two generation expansions in 1 year in 2017. So I think they know what the ebb and flow kind of is and how to balance that with their own development. So like, I would imagine we'll probably get two more in 2018.
See, I don't think
Or at least one and a half. I think we can get one and a half.
I think we'll get Gen 4 probably around about summertime. Because you got to figure, we had the game released back in like June or July.
Right.
Then we didn't get Gen 2 till February.
Right. Oh, and we just got Gen 3. But they have to finish Gen 3. Gen 3. So that's where I think they could do.
So, and we still got more Gen 3 Pokemon to come.
Yeah.
I have yet to catch a Feebas or a Lotad.
I, sort of unrelated, but because you said Feebas, have you ever had a Milotic in your team?
I have not.
I want to try it. But that's all. That's just a fleeting thought.
Yeah, there's a ton of Pokemon I still want to put on a team just because I've never done it before.
Yeah, same here.
Which is one reason why I had put a Noibat into my team.
Nice.
And Tyranitar. Because in X and Y, you don't get a Noibat to like near the end of the game, and it's kind of pointless. This game, you can get it in like the very beginning, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Noibat, well, I guess Noivern. Like intimidates me. I don't know why. I'm still getting used to dragon Pokemon. I think we've talked before that like dragon Pokemon is a type that I never got to know very well. And I just don't really know what to do with them. There's not really a whole lot to do with them. And they're certainly like, they should have been something I was really comfortable with early on because there was no real typing to learn. But for some reason I thought they were comfortable. And they're not.
I always at least try and have at least one dragon type move on my team when I play.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's been like Lucario, I'll teach a Dragon Pulse.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think one point, like, I don't know. I've just at least have like a dragon type move at least. And I've used dragon type Pokemon before. Trying to think who I've used, but I've used Dragonite.
Mm-hmm.
But it just takes so much to train, and sometimes you don't get them till like the end of the game. So the fact that we got Noibat in the beginning of the game from the first island was one of the greatest things, even though I didn't catch my Pokemon then. I actually got the one where you trade it with a guy.
Oh, okay. So boost of experience.
Exactly. So that helped out a lot.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Ooh, one thing did happen to me over the break, and you know what it is, but I don't know if our listeners do.
What? I'm trying to remember before Kyle gets back to the microphone. Because I'm sure we talked about a couple things, but I don't remember. Well, I'm jealous of like literally every Pokemon thing that happens to you. this is the thing I think it is, isn't it?
Okay, first off, I got the Christmas Rockruff plush.
Oh, it's so cute. And it jingles. Jingle, jingle.
So, it weirdly enough, and this is a super weird detail, but it has pockets that open up. Like up on its side, it's got little pockets with Velcro that I can literally just
like fit a single finger into.
I don't know the point of it, but they have it's Velcro, and it just comes. I don't know, but it's so cute. So
yeah, the purpose is just cuteness.
And I told my wife we're not gonna put this away with the Christmas decorations because I don't want it to go up in the attic. So this is gonna be like a year round thing in our bedroom somewhere.
Yeah.
Probably next to our Christmas Stitch plush that we have.
It's a Pokemon decoration, not a Christmas decoration.
Exactly. Like, I was torn between the Christmas Rockruff or the Christmas Vulpix. Mm-hmm. I sure as heck wasn't going to get the Christmas Pikachu.
But why?
But I was like, you know what? We already have an Alolan Vulpix plush, so I got the Rockruff. Because we don't have a
Rockruff. That makes sense.
And then the other thing I got is this.
Oh, he's holding up a Bulbasaur. It's big. Oh, I'm so jealous.
It's huge. I mean, look at this thing compared to the size of me. So I got the Build-A-Bear Bulbasaur. my wife had a Christmas party at a Dave & Buster's, which is attached to the mall that has a Build-A-Bear. And so after her party or whatever, we went walking around the mall and we walked by it, and we had seen the Bulbasaur before. Like, they had the display one, and I was just like, it's so fluffy. It's so huge. Like, it was perfect. And so we went back, and she's like, you're going to get the Bulbasaur, aren't you? And I'm like, I really, really want it. I had just gotten my Christmas bonus, and I'm like, you know what? I don't get to do this very often. I want to do this. So we went in, grabbed it. And all the people were super excited because, like, the people that worked there, they love the Pokemon plushes. They're super cool. Yeah. And so they start putting the fluffing into it. Well, there's a small problem with how they stuff the Bulbasaur.
Uh-oh.
The stuffing goes in his butt. Yeah. Right down the crease. It goes in the butt.
That's
so when
so
she's
funny.
Filling up, like at first, like it starts getting bigger and bigger. I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks so weird. I hope no one else is watching. This is just so awkward.
That's so funny.
And so, and I've read a story, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Now she goes, do you want it to be like soft or firm? I'm like, just somewhere in the middle, because I want. Because I'm going to use it as like a pillow kind of type thing. And that's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
Well, it's very hard to find a perfect comfy spot, but I think I found like the perfect one, like right there on its neck. So, yeah. Because the bulb kind of gets in the way, but.
Between the bulb and the sore.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I didn't get the scarf. I didn't get any detail clothing with it. I just wanted just the Bulbasaur.
It's so large.
It is. And
I had gotten at peace with not having it, and now that I see how big it is, now I want it all over again.
Exactly. That's why I want that giant Magnemite that our good friend Shuken Shinobi told me about.
I want it.
So, yeah, I got it. I love it. Now, I read a story about someone who got the Bulbasaur. And they had asked him, was like, hey, do you want to add a sound or something like that? And she just goes, no, I don't want to add a sound. Because you can add sounds if you want, but that costs more, and I don't want to do that. So then they're like, all right, well, do you want to give it a scent? So, like, you know, you could, like, make it smell like flowers. So it'd smell like an actual plant almost. Well, they decide, after they had already stuffed it pretty firmly, I guess, they're like, all right, well, where do you want the scent to be? And they're like, put it in the head. Now, remember how you have to stuff it.
Right.
The person had to reach into the Bulbasaur with the scent and try and get all the way to the head. Apparently it looked very, very awkward and embarrassing. And just and like the person was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I know how wrong this looks, but it's the only way. And
it's like some farm animal birth stuff right there.
Pretty much, but in reverse, because you're putting something into the animal.
True.
So yeah, birthing. If you know anything about ranching, and you have to impregnate the cows. So yeah, but I love it. That and Squirtle are. I love them so much. Yeah, I love it so much. The only thing is, I wish that, like, they had like an alternate pattern one, like Maze from the anime who. Has a heart shape right here on the forehead, which would be super
cool. Yeah, that'd
be cool. Yeah. So
that would be cool because it could be one of those things where if you request it, they'll give you the one that you're looking for, but otherwise most people probably aren't gonna care
like that
or
could
notice,
be like the online exclusive or something, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, do it that
way.
That'd
be cool.
So got all that stuff. Got a puzzle for Christmas that had all the starters on it. That was pretty cool. And then
and
I got the new little
updated,
brick set.
Like with Sun and Moon starters.
Yeah, it was awesome. And the puzzle, like, it comes in a Pokeball.
Oh, that's cool.
So, like, you have to open the Pokeball and, like, all the puzzle pieces are in there, which is really cool.
Nice.
Now, another thing I got was the puzzle, the little Lego knockoff sets.
I have a couple of those, yeah.
Yeah, I got the Charmander Squirtle battle scene.
I have that right up on my shelf, right next to me.
Nice. And after building, I was like, these are actually kind of cool. I kind of want to get more.
Yeah.
GameStop. And I've seen like the little individual figurine ones that they have, which are really cool. I'm waiting for them to do a Magnemite. I just got a gut feeling they're going to eventually do one. But I did see that they actually have Cubone, which I was like, oh, that's cool. They got Machop, Zubat. I really want the Zubat.
I haven't seen the Zubat one. That'd be cool.
I saw it at GameStop.
Huh. Next time I'm there, I'll have to look.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Did you get any cool Pokemon items for Christmas?
I didn't, no.
Well, you did. It's still at my house.
That's Kyle and I exchanged addresses to send each other stuff, and neither one of us has done it yet.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're in the same boat, at least.
Yeah, I'm lazy. I'm horrible at sending things. Just ask ZeoRed93 on Twitter. I was supposed to send him some pop vinyls, and it took me like 2-3 months to send it to him. He had bought them from me, and like I just took forever to send him. Like he'd message me like once a week, like, hey, did you send it? I'm like, ah, dang it, I'll get to it tomorrow. And tomorrow came and went and just never happened. And
yeah,
I'm horrible at the stuff.
Sending
like,
stuff
I have
is...
your present. I bought it. I have it. It's in my living room in a box. Like it's in a box. All it needs is just a shipping label and me to go to the post office.
Yeah. No, I get that feeling.
I don't know if you saw on Twitter or not, but I did post that I bought the Shining Legends box set.
Ooh, yeah?
The big $80 box set.
Uh-huh. How'd that go?
So, still waiting to get it because I had gotten a $50 gift card to Amazon. And Amazon's got it on sale for like around about $65, which I was like, sweet. Well, I went to go purchase it, and then there was an error through the shipping thing or whatever, so Amazon canceled my order. I was like, okay, no big deal. Let me go buy a new one.
Yeah.
And all the prices raised back up to $80.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did see all this.
Yeah, and I was super mad. I was going to use a P word, but I'm trying to censor myself here, folks. Super mad. And I was like, really? So then I had to keep waiting because I refused to pay like the extra $15.
Yeah.
Like, I already had, I get it. I'm already saving myself $50 with the gift card and then I just got to pay $15. But now an extra $15. I'm like, no. I mean, it's the principle of the matter. I'm going to wait it out. Finally, someone posted it for cheaper. And it should be here Monday, but I got the notice saying due to weather, inclement weather stuff, there may be a delay in your delivery. And I was like, fine, whatever. It's at my post office. I've seen the tracking. It's like at the Virginia Beach post office.
It's there.
And I'm just like, just give it to me.
Oh, no,
it's not the post office. It's FedEx. So it's going to take forever because it's FedEx. All right, so now talk about what everyone actually cares about, the Pokemon games.
Hi.
So, did you move?
Yeah. Wait, not like my whole life, but like I moved positions.
Folks, Doug has what we call restless leg syndrome. He cannot
probably.
Sit still.
probably accurate. The past couple days, because I said I've been doing nothing but playing Pokemon for the most part, I'm not great at like sitting still and just staring at the DS for long. Like for whatever reason, handheld consoles, because they're small and I can move with them. So for the past couple days, I have these two armchairs, and they're on either side of me. Kyle can see them. So I have one on my left and one on my right. I'm sitting on the floor. And they are up against my couch so that they are like the two armchairs are facing each other and then they're up against my couch. So I have this like this infinite number of possibilities with which I can like relax. I can like lay on the couch or I can sit on the floor or I can get in one of the chairs. And it helped me. Helped me like play for hours on end because then I could like shift positions like every hour.
Here's what you need: a blanket, put it over all the couches, and you have yourself a couch fort.
Why did I not think of that? Oh, I'm so dumb.
No, you're not dumb.
Hopefully, as I shift, I'm not making too much noise.
Although I gotta say, from the angle the camera's focused at, I gotta say I like your open concept in your little apartment there.
Oh, thank you.
It's like you're in the living room. I can see your kitchen, your little dining area.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's all one large room. It works.
Yeah, all you've ever seen is just pop vinyls and a corner of a bed.
Yeah, if we actually did this as a video podcast, I bet you somebody could put together like a 360-degree like image of my apartment because I am somewhere different nearly every time we record.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually. secretly, I've been doing that.
Oh no. I'm going to create a 360 exhibit.
Yeah, I already did.
The games!
Yes, games. Got off topic there, but it's okay. Okay, so we last talked about first and second island and the little bit of differences. And third and fourth island, get into the major differences. Now, how far are you into the game? I know you said you haven't beaten Elite Four. Have you basically gotten at the Elite Four doors, or
I'm at the foot of that route, so I have my trusty little guide. So that I actually completely forgot about that route too. So I was sitting there thinking like, oh my gosh, they added more, but they didn't. It's I don't know. It's like some snowy route thing. It's like the first elevator. It is.
Yeah. Okay. So
yeah, that's where I am.
All right, so I don't know if we talked about, like, the first time we went to the Aether Foundation.
I don't remember if we did, but we can briefly touch on it because it's not too big.
The only difference is by the end of the whole thing, the strange people from the other world.
The Recon Squad.
Thank you, Recon Squad. It's been a while for
me. Yeah.
They show up. At the end of it, and they want to talk to Lusamine, basically be, you know, hey, we should work together kind of thing. And that kind of ends there, and then you go off to the third island.
So this is jumping a little bit, but general statement, I'm like, I can't decide yet, but I think right now I'm like a little disappointed with the Ultra Recon squad because like their existence is awesome because it explains all this new stuff we can do. But like, I thought their story was going to be so much bigger.
Yeah.
They just kind of pop in, and it's good that they do, because then it's at least a, you know, if somebody didn't play Sun and Moon and they only played this, I don't think it would feel significantly disappointing because they're always sort of present. But for somebody who knows they're new, I guess I just thought they were going to be a bigger deal.
Mm. It's understandable. So
side note.
Yeah. So Third Island. Not much else has changed. You still have to go to like the park to hunt down Professor Kukui with your rival. I think your rival asked you to battle him first, and I actually think I lost that battle.
Yeah?
Yeah. Your rival, like, there's a few battles where I was like, holy crud, I just got decimated. you're not expecting it. And then, like, the game, like, you think, okay, cool, I'll try again in a second, and then, oh, nope, the story continues, and he heals you up. I was like, oh, well, great.
Well, he has...
My head that he beat me.
He has more Pokemon earlier in the game than he did the first time around.
Well,
like,
how
is a much more formidable trainer?
Mm-hmm.
But he has all that more time to develop them. I haven't gone and done like a comparison of how they, like how battles. Mm. But he definitely is more formidable because his whole characterization is that he's like just having fun and he doesn't take battling all that seriously and blah 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 blah.
And he's
but
like
this time around, he's like actually pretty good.
Yeah, like. Spoiler alert, but we're going to get to it eventually. Like, there's a part where, like, he goes back and battles his grandfather, and, like, he actually beats his grandfather.
Yeah, yeah. He ends up being really good by the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like, so, in story, he's supposed to be actually really, really good. Mm-hmm.
So, skipping ahead a little bit, because, like, not much else changes until you get to the Sophocles battle.
Yeah!
Yeah. So, I was expecting to face a Vickavolt again, because... I mean, it's Vickavolt.
Because we don't learn. I did the same thing every time.
The totem Pokemon is a Togedemaru.
A huge... And I mean, I guess they're all huge, but huge Togedemaru.
Yes. This one is huge compared to, like, its normal-sized counterparts. Togedemaru is already relatively small.
Yeah.
So, wasn't expecting a Togedemaru.
Right.
But I'm just going to come on and say it. That Togedemaru destroyed me. It decimated me my first time. I was like, well, time to go train. Because anytime like I lose, I'm like, all right, I got to go train my Pokemon, get them stronger.
Yeah.
And... sorry about that, folks. So went out and trained a little bit, got everyone a little bit stronger. I think by this time I actually have my full team. And,
wow.
I think what I had to do was just evolve my... Larvitar into a Pupitar.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's kind of what helped with the rock throw.
So I overkilled, right? Because I knew that this trial was coming. And I looked at my team, again, loose term, my team, and saw that I had nothing that was going to be good against electric Pokemon at all. Mm-hmm. So I overkilled and was like, all right, Larvitar. All right, Mudsdale. All right, Rockruff, like, let's do this. And I trained all three of them, and then I got there with my Mudsdale and, like, didn't need anything else.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Mudsdale, I should have given Mudsdale and Mudbray a chance the first time I played these games, but I just don't like horses very much, so I was like, no. But Mudsdale is kicking butt for me.
Mm, that's awesome.
Like, major butt.
I think I was going to use a Mudsbray in this game, and I caught it, and I was starting to use it a little bit, but it was just, I don't know if it was too slow, but it kept dying on me, and I was like, all right, you know what? You're out of the team. You keep dying on me, so.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, everybody who's playing this game for the first time, or who's replaying it but didn't do this the first time. We established the first time we talked about this game that there's one thing very different that Kyle and I have done so far playing this game. Which is either use Rotom Dex or not use Rotom Dex. And if you use Roto Lottery all the time, and if you use your experience share all the time, you can raise anything super fast. Because one of the things you can get from Rotom is an
like an experience boost. So what I did was I bred a Larvitar, I bred a Mudbray, and I bred, or I didn't breed my Rockruff. I just got it from it's the Dawn version. And I just put them in my party. I put on one of those experience boosts. I put on my experience share, and like everything grew like 10 levels in the first nice. Battle. Nice. And then I just did that until they could kind of hold their own.
Nice.
Awesome. That's probably why I'm so slow at the game, is because you and I do it opposite. You do something smarter, which is like try the battle first to see if you're going to do fine or not, because I always like spend too much time training. And then there's probably stuff I could have beat just the first time around. But anyway, that was a long way of saying,
well,
go Rotom Dex.
I have, I do use Rotom Dex, obviously, just to check my Pokedex itself, but that's a different story.
Use the lotto! Dude, I have so much money because of that.
So
just saying.
Trust me, I have a lot of money too, but I was just from playing the actual game.
Listen.
And you'll see why when you play the game, trust me.
Ooh,
after you beat the after story.
I got $85,000 beating who was it? Gosh, what's his name? The police officer on the third island who's the captain.
Oh, Nanu.
Doesn't care about anything. Yeah, Nanu. I got $85,000nice. After I beat him because I used Happy Hour. I had an amulet coin, and I was using the prize money boost.
Nice. That's amazing. Awesome.
Anyway, yeah, I'm rambling.
No, you're fine. So, Toga Tomorrow, it was a pain.
Yep.
But then
yes,
I destroyed it this time around. Thankfully, I also had a fire type, and it's also steel, and it calls upon some bug type Pokemon to help it, so that was out easily. Another thing you start seeing is like the helper, the guy who has the Steelium Z. You don't actually battle him before you face Sophocles, which kind of sucks because like I was actually very prepared to fight him. I was ready. I was like, all right, I'm going to go up against the Steel type guy. I'm ready. And he's like, oh, here's the Steelium Z. I'm like, no, I wanted to battle you.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of moments in this game where you don't battle somebody that you could have battled, and that's. Mm-hmm. I love this game, and I have very, very, very little to critique. But that's one of the things that I wish they would have done. One of our criticisms of Sun and Moon is that it felt unfinished, and in this case, like I thought they were going to address all of those bits and pieces of unfinishedness.
There's a few things that they could have.
Right, most of the time they do, but I still don't understand. Like, if we're going to be hypothetically speaking, if we're going to be asked to battle all of the captains. At some point during the game, let me battle all of the captains.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, side note, the first city you get to on Third Island, there's an actual Pokemon gym in there.
Yeah.
Which is modeled after Lieutenant Surge's gym, although you don't have to search the trash cans.
Were you happy or sad? I was a little bit of both. Right? <Yes.
laughs> Because you see the trailer for it in the game, and in the trailer, like, because they show you, like, the new character that this crazy guy is in. And my first time through, I didn't even battle him. And I'm like, he's supposed to be here. Where is this guy?
Yeah.
He's not here. So I was a little disappointed about that. And he's still just a side character. But I'm like, you guys put him in the trailer.
As, yeah, like, he could have been character so much more.
Like, he was going to be, like, part of, like, the main story or something. And I still have yet to see him at all. And I was a little disappointed about that.
Yeah.
So,
I like all that aside, there, though.
Moving along, though, you travel along. Again, I'm fast-forwarding most of the parts that we've already seen through Sun and Moon.
Are you doing this all from memory?
Kind of.
I'm really impressed. I have my little book here, like, boop-a-doop-a-doop. And I'm just like really impressed.
Now, side note about the mountain area, they changed it.
Yeah.
A little bit. By the fact that now you can evolve your Charjabug into Vikavolt. You can evolve Magneton into Magnezone. You can evolve Nosepass into Probopass here. Instead of it being the fourth island at the end of the game, which a lot of people were annoyed with.
Yep.
So they moved it to the third island, which I think is a super smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I played, I had Charjabug. My Charjabug didn't evolve to Vikavolt till like it was like level 50 something, and I'm like,
same.
this is pointless. So moving into the third island, you get your stronger Pokemon a little bit sooner, and it helps out with everything. So
you would be so proud of me, Kyle.
I would.
My strongest and one of my most helpful Pokemon on my team is a Magnezone.
Yay!
Yeah. I debated because I was like, Magneton.
Mm-hmm.
And I only said that weird so that people could understand what I was saying. Magneton, I think I still like much more better than Magnezone. Mm-hmm. But Magnezone is just so much better.
Yes. Stats-wise, Magnezone. But looking-wise, I prefer Magneton as well.
Yeah, Magnezone's so weird.
Magnezone looks like someone just took the Magneton and kind of smelted it into like one being.
Yeah, well, and it's also supposed to be kind of like, it's supposed to be UFO-ish, but it doesn't really look like a UFO. it's a weird, it's a weird looking Pokemon, but I like it. It's my strongest by far.
Nice, that's awesome. I'm happy for you.
Did that for you.
Thanks. But yeah, so if you have a Charger Bug and you're like trying to figure out when to evolve it, third island, when you get to the mountain area, just like right next to like I think like the what is it? The little power plant that's there, which you don't get to go into, unfortunately.
Right, and just pay attention when you're on that mountain zone because you can pass it. It's not a place you have to go, I don't think. So
no,
you kind of have to make sure you're exploring.
But that area right there by the power plant is where you get like Togedemaru, Elekid. You can get a Dedenne there.
So. Yep. All sorts of stuff. That's where I caught my Elekid.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think what else is next. So you get basically now you get to the part where you meet the ghost trial captain.
Is it
still Mimikyu?
Yes, it is still Mimikyu, which I guess
still Mimikyu.
That makes sense.
That one there makes sense. I don't think there's really much else for ghost type Pokemon in Sun and Moon.
No, and Mimikyu really is like a mascot for this. It's one of the mascots for this generation.
Honestly, I'd be offended if they actually changed Mimikyu. So
yeah, I don't know what else. I don't know what would have been better. I don't think there's anything. Yeah. I can't think of anything.
Not much else has changed there. Let's see here. The young goose gets kidnapped again by Team Skull. You got to go to the Team Skull place to go. Po-Town. There we go. Po-Town. You got to go to Po-Town to rescue it.
Yeah.
Not much else has changed there either. You still got to find all the sheets of paper, say the code, and then say no at the end.
Which is really important, everybody. Make sure you say no at the end.
Team Skull grunts always say no. Yeah. But it was... again, I use that mostly as just like a training thing. Just level up and one. Oh, and make sure go back to Po-Town when you beat the Elite Four, folks, and go to the Pokemon Center where they charge you.
Yeah,
they're going to charge you for this, but it's really cool. You actually get a Team Skull outfit.
What? That's awesome.
Yeah, you get like a Team Skull shirt and a hat. I don't wear the hat, but I wear the tank top.
That's so awesome, dude. I was thinking like about $1,000. This. That's not too bad. I was thinking about this. The next, like, con or something I go to, I don't cosplay at all, but this, like, Team Skull would be so easy, and I feel like they show up everywhere now. And so you could take a Team Skull, like, group pick. So I kind of want to do that.
That'd be awesome. Because
it'd be so easy. Right?
All right. Don't take this the wrong way. I feel like you would probably be better off as playing as, like, the hiker.
No, I've thought about that. Okay, so here's okay. There are, like I said, I don't cosplay, but there are certain like cosplay light ideas that I've had where I'm like, I can't afford nor am I skilled enough to do like something big, but I could do something small. And so some of the ones I've thought about in the past are Professor Birch, but also the hiker, but like the old school hiker, not like the current Alola hiker.
because
that guy's kind of a hippie, but cool, I guess. I don't know. I'd have to like dye my beard, I think, for that one. But But no, those that hiker is one of the ones I've thought about.
Yeah.
Because
you
like
have to see it.
Oh, you know what the other one I've thought about is? Just because I want to see if anybody would get it. And I would be like so happy if somebody got it. I could so easily, so easily go as the trial, what are they called? The trial coach or the trial. They wear like the teal shirt and they're at the beginning of the trial. One of them is like a big bearded white guy. Yeah, and the other one's like a petite black girl with braids. Like I could so easily do that trial guy. Yeah. I would just need to make a shirt. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Anyway, all the side notes.
All that being said, you go back, you return the young goose, and then Team Skulls basically kidnap Lily and Cosmog. Yep. And so you and Gladian head off for the boat, and then Nanu shows up and is like, hey, I'm going to battle you. I actually had to fight Nanu twice because he decimated me the first time around, which is surprising because I beat him easily last time, but that was probably because I had a bug-type Pokemon that could just destroy him then.
I'm all in on fairy types now that I know how to use them, and so I was pretty okay.
Yeah, my team's biggest weakness is fairy.
That makes sense.
I have Doomkitty, who's a dark type, and a fire type.
Yeah.
I have a dragon.
Oh, yep.
I have Wyvern. And then Tyranitar is a dark and ground type, so again, weak against fairy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's half my team right there, and then the other half was Poliwhirl, because you can't get a King's Rock until after you beat the Elite Four, so that really irked me, because I couldn't get Politoed until afterwards.
Yep.
And then I also had Lopunny, but that's just a normal type, and who rocks, by the way. And then who was my last one? Leafeon.
Oh, so, nice.
Half my team could be destroyed by fairy, which sucks. Those are like pretty strong,
pretty big. Well, I made it a goal to understand fairy types in this generation because I played through X and Y without understanding them at all, and I was like, "That's silly," because it's literally when they were introduced. Yeah. So I made it a goal. Plus, Primarina was my go to in the first play around. So,
see, my wife when she played. Now you and I, we both have our different styles. My wife plays, oh, that Pokemon's cute. Yeah. I'm going to catch it.
I like that. So
she basically made an all cute team. I know she wanted to get a Dedenne. She had Lopunny. She started with the water starter again. So she had Primarina.
Yeah.
And she just had all these cute Pokemon. And by the way, she's now in love with Sfeel from Pokemon Go.
Yeah, Sfeel is awesome. It's so funny.
She had no idea what Sfeel was until Pokemon Go introduced it. And she's like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. And she's like, what does it evolve into? I'm like, Celio. So she looks that up. She goes, oh, that's cute too. I'm like, it's got a third evolution. And she goes, is it even cute? I'm like, no.
Nope. It's a walrus.
So now I show her and she goes, oh, no. It can stop at the second evolution. And I'm like, okay.
This reminds me, do you ever... like, just forget, now that there's, like, 800 Pokemon or something, do you ever just, like, forget one ever existed? Because that happened to me yesterday.
Which one?
Like, Squirtle's evolution. I just completely forgot it existed.
There's some from, like, X and Y, and then I'll be like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that Pokemon. I'm going to catch it.
Yeah. And yeah. I just was like, what am I looking at?
Yeah.
Yep. It happens.
I've been doing it, trying to capture every Pokemon in the Pokedex that you can, and that's what I've been doing. So, all right.
Yeah.
So you head back to the Aether Foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you run around trying to find Lily and all that stuff, and again, not much else has changed. And then you find, and you got to battle Lusamine, and she still has the creepy Pukumuku, Slowpoke, and Pikachu frozen.
Yeah, she does, because she's creepy.
Yes. So
lots of battles leading up to this too, which was kind of nice.
Yes, there's a ton of battles, which is super great. And like there's some parts where like you'll run into like maybe like two Aether Foundation grunts and you're like, "All right, I'm about to battle 2-on-1." And then your your rival shows up and he's here to help you. And I was like, "Okay, cool, fine. Both of us versus those two. It'll be easier." And it's still just a 1-on-1 battle. I'm like, "Really?" Perfect opportunity to do a double battle.
So a couple of them are. When that would happen, if this game were like Mass Effect, or if this game were like Walking Dead, where you could like choose your alignment, I would like not be a very great good guy in this game, because my two of my strongest attacks are Discharge and Earthquake. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to not use them simply because I'm battling with somebody else. And so there were a couple times where like Howe was battling with me or Gladian was battling with me. And I was like, I really shouldn't faint my ally's Pokemon, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Nice. So you battle Lusamine. It all ends. Okay, so this is where it gets a little fuzzy for me. But
well, this is where it starts to change quite a bit.
Her and Guzma still go into the portal. That still happens. They go into the portal, and then the next day, like, you sleep over in the Aether Foundation, and then the next day shows up, and then Lily's done her whole change. She does the whole silly, this is my Z-form move, and I'm like, you're not a Pokemon, but okay.
Remember when we thought she was?
Yeah.
Remember before any of these games came out, and we thought that, like, the creepy family were Ultra Beasts, because I definitely thought they were.
So the next thing you do, you go to the fourth island. They're like, all right, here's one flute. You got to get the other flute. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's on Executor Island. This is where it starts to change a little bit, because you go to Executor Island and you don't actually go with Lily this time.
Right.
You go by yourself. You actually get to battle a few Executors, which I thought was really cool.
Well, did you battle Executor? Or did you? Because I battled Pinsir.
Right. You battle the Pinsir and whatnot that are sitting. Yeah, sorry, my bad. But I just thought it was cool. Well, like, you actually see the Executor just standing there.
There are some changes between the two games that are kind of surprising. So I wasn't sure if that was one of them.
Yeah. So you battle the Pokemon that are hurting the Executor, and then the Executor help you get up to the top of the island because the pathway's been blocked. It's different. And then you find out that's an old trial site. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. That maybe that's where they originally had the dragon trial or something, since Executor are dragon types.
Right.
So then you get the flute, and then you got to go through the whole mountain range thing. And this is where I was expecting to battle the ground captain.
Yeah.
Not Captain Hakuna. Because this is what happened last time. You go and you battle the Kahuna, and then you do your final challenge of the dragon. So it's reverse of usually of all the other islands. But this time around, they actually fixed it. So you go and you get to do the dragon trial in the cave. And again, super easy still. That's like the easiest one out of all of them, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought they were going to probably buff it a little bit, but they didn't.
No, they did not. And then this is where everything else changes.
Yeah, it does.
So while you go up the stairs to the altar, you play the flutes, and then the portal opens. Guzma comes out. And then Lusamine comes out, and then they're like, and then what? And okay, so if I remember correctly, the Cosmoman that was originally Cosmog evolved into Cosmoman after Lusamine like tried to hurt it really badly, and then it evolves into your Pokemon from your mascot.
Yeah,
and then Necrozma shows up and merges with your mascot.
Yeah, now, dramatic.
Yeah, this battle super easy. You can't catch it, unfortunately.
So easy, and even like the most easy if you have the moon version. I defeated it with one crunch.
Oh,
one
nice.
Crunch. See, it was ridiculous.
Mine was part steel, so I just had to use my fire attack.
Yep, it's so easy.
Again, super easy. That part's done. Then it escapes. So you got to go to the Ultra Recon Squad City.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I thought was going to be something super huge and super awesome. It's literally, like, there's one thing to do there, and that's it, folks.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. They kind of really sold us this pointless. Whole extra world.
So, but now, to get there, you got to ride the other mascot.
Yeah, you do.
You have to ride the other mascot, and you have to like bob and weave around certain things. But to do that, you have to rotate and lean forward and lean back onto your DS.
Yeah, it's motion controlled, so which I did not expect.
You can change it afterwards, though.
Yeah. Did you get the right wormhole on the first try?
I knew which one it was, but I saw the second one, and I was like, I'm going to go to this one first. So I went to the other one.
Gotcha.
And I encountered an escargot.
Oh.
And basically, when you get there, though, it as soon as you land, it says you've arrived, like, however many light years away.
Right.
So you're on another planet.
Yeah.
And there's a Pokemon on this planet. Yeah. Think about that for a second. If you catch it, you technically have an alien Pokemon.
Well, it kind of, what they've done with this concept of traveling through ultra space, through these wormholes, and then that's how you, the further, it's kind of like a mini game. The further you can go in ultra space, quote, better wormholes you can go through, and the stronger Pokemon you can encounter. But what they've set up is basically that legendary Pokemon are from other worlds, right? So, like, the reason they're legendary to us is because they're not from...
Well, all these Pokemon that you're encountering through the wormhole are all alien Pokemon.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not just the legendaries, it's all of them. Like, there's like a Swellow, and I caught that.
Oh!
Alien Swellow.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So, like,
Pokemon are spread across the galaxy.
So technically, it basically just shows, and they don't go into so much detail about it, but you kind of have to use your imagination that there are other Pokemon on other planets, which is super cool when you think about it. I mean, so like if an alien ever came to like the Pokemon universe, it would send out a Pokemon and you'd be like, how do you have a Pokemon? You just got here. And you'd be like, oh, well, these are common on our Earth. We don't call them Pokemon. We call them Digimon. So.
Digimon. Yeah, that is weird to think about, actually. It's weird because it also, I guess it's kind of like regions, right? Because there are some Pokemon we already understood to be aliens, but I guess Pokemon on Earth that we would consider to be aliens are simply ones that aren't native to Earth, even though some of our native Earth Pokemon would be native other planets. Just like you can find Kanto Pokemon in other regions, and they may or may not be native.
Yeah. So, 'cause, I mean, think about
Makes sense.
Arceus, when Arceus created the whole universe...
Praise Arceus.
Yes, praise Arceus. Earth wasn't the only one that was selected to receive life. He picked other planets to receive life. So, yeah. I mean, there's another planet where Groudon and Kyogre have created another type of Earth, but instead of like humans, they're humanoid-like. They may look different from us.
Well, we've talked about this before. Basically, what Pokemon has done is they've established a multiverse where they no longer have to have any sort of real concern for continuity if they don't want to, because they can literally
It's not just a multiverse.
Well, it's not just a... what do you mean?
Well, it's not... A multiverse just implies, like, different alternate Earths.
Right, but they... Right, exactly, yeah. So they have established a multiverse, but even within at least one piece of that multiverse, they've established this concept as well.
Yeah.
So moving forward, Pokemon can literally do anything they want, and it can be explained either via multiverse or via ultra space. So, like, they could literally reboot, and it wouldn't technically even have to be considered a reboot, because it could just be, like, a reboot in a different either reality or a different space. it's like, good job, Pokemon. Yeah. You have solved continuity.
All right. So, when you do finally pick the right wormhole, and you go to the Ultra Recon City, you... then go up this tower, around the stairs, and you basically see this ginormous Digimon. There's no other way to describe this thing. It's a Digimon. I'm sorry. This is not
whatever. Sure it is.
It's angelic like Angemon, okay? That's just what I'm going to say.
All right. Fair enough.
This thing destroyed me. First time I battle, I didn't get a single move in. It's quicker. It's stronger. Because it knows a fairy-type move and a dragon-type move.
So freaking fairy weakness.
Exactly. So it was able to knock my entire team out. I didn't get a single move in.
Dang.
So I was like, all right. I went back. I trained.
It knows a steel-type move, too.
Yes. That.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
I evolved my Pupitar into Tyranitar.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everything started coming together for me. I taught Tyranitar Dragon Claw, gave it the Dragium Z. This was after a few failed attempts with Tyranitar too, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I knew it had a weakness to dragon. So.
Yeah.
It would attack Tyranitar, but it would leave me with just enough health that I would survive. I would get in with the Dragium Z. And then it also had its ability of Sandstorm. So for five turns, it would still keep weakening my opponent.
Sandstorm was such a blessing.
Yes. So then I would send out another Pokemon. Still wasn't fast enough to take out this other thing, but I used it to heal up Tyranitar and get it ready.
Yep.
And then I would send Tyranitar back out again, use just a regular Dragon Claw, and then I just had to keep repeating the process until finally I defeated it.
Yeah.
And it took me a couple of tries because, like, there's some times where, like, it was able to knock out Tyranitar with just one hit instead of two. But I eventually got it. And I tell you, that was, like, the most satisfactory battle I've ever had in my entire life.
So for me, it was a different approach, but with a common element of Tyranitar. So I started with Tyranitar because Tyranitar is what I knocked out Lunala with one hit. So I was like, well, I'll just start with that because I'm sure it's going to at least do, you know, significant damage. It wasn't so much Tyranitar, though, that was my key player. My key players were my Ribombee and my Magnezone, because Magnezone could take hits because Ultra Necrozma doesn't have anything that's strong or like double against steel. So I could use Magnezone to heal things. And Ribombee can't take a hit to save its life, but it can deliver a hit. So luckily I was able to like hit it with fairy and bug stuff and then heal it while Magnezone was taking hits. And then honestly, the reason I beat it was because Sandstorm. Nice. Like, if it weren't for Sandstorm, I think Sandstorm was the final hit, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that's what knocked it out, which was amazing. I love Pokemon. So many different ways to tackle problems. What a good metaphor.
Yeah.
So, can I pause for a second? Because I want to show you something, and then I'll try to describe it to people who are listening.
Sure.
I have this... the guide, right? So I have... For both Sun and Moon and for Ultra Sun and Moon. And right after this moment in the game, in the guide, there's this full page artwork, which is actually like really good artwork. It's not, this is going to sound like an insult, and I don't mean it to be, but it's not like the style of art that's like in the Sugimori style. Like I like Sugimori's a lot, but this isn't it. It's like more detailed. It's like a painting. And there's a Decidueye in that artwork that like looks really cool because it's not in a typical style. And I don't really know why it's in the guide other than to fill a page, but it's gorgeous.
That is really cool.
I'll have to try to find that artwork online and like link to it on our Twitter or something.
Yeah. So after you finally beat it, I think it splits up and then
it like melts. It like melts into light.
Huh? Yeah, and then you finally go back to your world.
After getting your first Ultra Beast.
Yes.
If you want it. The Ultra Recon Squad basically says, like, do you want this Poipole?
Yes.
And I was like, yes, I do, I guess.
Have you evolved your Poipole?
No, because I didn't even know it could evolve. When it popped into the Pokedex and there was a second level, I was like, what? I had no clue.
Exactly.
So I haven't. I haven't done anything with it yet.
Now, I will tell you how it needs to evolve. Okay. Go to the Pokemon Center outside of the Elite Four. In there, someone is a move learner. Take your Poiple there, and basically you got to make sure you have a heart scale. And give her a heart scale, and she'll make your Poiple relearn a move. Make it relearn Dragon Pulse. When it levels up, knowing the move Dragon Pulse, it will evolve.
Oh, so does it evolve into a poison and dragon type?
Yes.
Ah, that's going to fill a hole in my team.
There you go.
I mean, we'll see. Because I don't usually put... It's not technically legendary, but I don't usually put stuff like that in my team. But maybe I will, because I haven't trained literally any poison stuff.
Go for it. So,
and Muk was like such a huge, huge factor the first time I played.
So after all that's done, you continue on to the Grand Trial, and you get to do the newest Grand Trial, the Fairy type, which I thought was the greatest Grand Trial out of all of them.
I liked it by the end, but before I realized what it actually was, I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me. Because what it is you go talk to Mina, and then she says, let's battle. And I literally thought the trial was just going to be battling her. Mm-hmm. And I was so angry. And then she explained what the rest of the trial was, and I was really happy.
Oh yeah, this thing is super cool. So you battle her, she gives you a little petal. And then she's like, all right, now you get to go face all the Grand Trial captains. Which is cool, because you never really got to fight them. And yes, asterisk, we'll get to that. So, first you got to go find Lima. Now, first off, I didn't know where to find Lima. I really didn't.
Yeah.
So I go to like where the normal Grand Trial is, go to the whole maze that it is, and I didn't see him there. I was like, all right, fine. I'll go back to her, see if she has any clue. She says, go to the trial thing. If he's not there, talk to the trial guard. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, crud. I got to go all the way back to that maze thing again. Talk to the trial guard. He's like, oh, yeah, Lima's over at the graveyard. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Went to the graveyard, battled Lima. Done. So then next up, and then when you battle him, he's like, all right, let me take you to the next one. So which I thought was great, because like, they just take you to like the next Grand Trial. You don't actually have to walk or fly or anything.
Yep.
So my next one was the Grass Trial.
Yes.
And I know for you it was the water.
Yes. So for some reason, this is what I was alluding to earlier in my hypothetical, which is real. For some reason, they like split the captains between versions for some of them. So in mine, like Mallow and Lana are hanging out together. And so you battle one of the two of them. And if you beat the one, you get both of the petals. So I battled Lana and you battled Mallow.
Yes. Finished that. And then next up was Kiawe.
Yes.
You battle Kiawe. And afterwards, you battle Kiawe's hiker.
Yes. His hiker friend.
which is weird. But then after that was Sophocles.
Yes. And here's a really weird thing that has nothing to do with the game, but everything to do with the guide that I have.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I have, which is the official guide, by the way. It tells you that Mallow and Lana are split, but it does not tell you that Sophocles and Nanu are split, because I didn't battle Sophocles, but I did battle Nanu.
Interesting.
And yours was opposite, right?
I think I battled Sophocles.
I think you should have battled Sophocles, and Nanu was like not interested, because in mine, Sophocles was so sad about Mulane leaving that he doesn't want to battle. He just gives it to you because he's upset.
I think he actually gives it to me too. Like, he actually just hands it to me, and I'm like, okay. I don't fully remember. It's been a while.
Well, in the guide, so this is the only reason I think this is the case. In the guide, it tells you like a situation, and then it tells you Sophocles' team that he battles
maybe
you with.
I did battle him.
But it's but I didn't battle him. So I was like, what is this guy doing? And then the next thing it does is it says that Nanu has no interest in battling you. So I was like, okay, maybe that was just a weird glitch in my game and I didn't have to battle Sophocles. And then I went to talk to Nanu and he totally attacked me. Nice. But I think for you, he probably like couldn't be bothered because he's Nanu.
Yeah.
Very weird. Very weird.
I don't remember if Nanu shows up at the end because Sophocles was so distraught that he lost a battle that Nanu gives me the thing. I don't fully remember.
Sophocles takes you to the Aether House. And Nanu is there with those two kids.
Yes, okay. So, and then you go to the Aether House, and you can't remember if I battled the ghost chick or not. Again, it's been a couple weeks.
You don't have to. She's nowhere to be seen.
Okay. So then
that's
I think
why Nanu's there.
Okay. So then I get the last one, and then you go back to the fairy chick, and then she sends out her totem Pokemon.
Yes.
Which turns out to just be a Rabombe. And I'm like, okay, here, Rabombe, I got this. Two battles later, I'm like, geez. Again, my big weakness is fairy, folks. I thought I could handle it because it was also, I think, part bug.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, here's the thing with Rabombe. It's super fast, and its special attack is really good. So, its HP sucks, and it can't take a hit. But it'll hit you really hard, really, really fast.
Exactly. That's my big problem.
Which I underestimated. I just assumed this was going to be like any other bug, like little bug Pokemon, and that it was going to be like nothing. But Rabombe's actually pretty cool, guys.
Yeah. So let's see here. Afterwards, you finally get to go up against the Kahuna.
Papu!
Yes, Papu. And she is on Executor Island, which I thought was really cool.
Did you notice? I had to check this because I wasn't sure. Executor Island is way prettier in this version than it was in the first version.
Yeah, because I think
it's all green,
you go,
and the other one was not.
Yeah, the first time you go, it's raining,
and it's like dirt as opposed to grass. Like in Sun and Moon, it's like mostly dirt, and in this one, in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, it's like tropical and pretty.
Yeah. So once you defeat her, you've gotten all four Kahunas beaten, and then you get to go for the Elite Four. Now, do you want to stop here, or do you want me to continue, Doug?
No, go for it. It's totally fine. I don't care about the Elite Four is not going to be
as
like a massive spoiler for me.
Once you get to like the base of the mountain, you start climbing up, you battle Gladian.
Yep, did that.
And he basically tells you, and this is key because everyone's just button mashing through, he tells you that Lily is with your mascot on the first island where you first met her by the bridge. Go there if you want your mascot Pokemon before the Elite Four.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't realize that, and they just went to that after they beat the Elite Four.
You got to listen to what people are saying.
Exactly. So I still went after Elite Four. I had no interest in getting Solgaleo at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I got Lunala, but I put it right into a box.
Okay.
I didn't use it.
So, after that, you climb up the mountain. You go through the ice cave. Actually, no, before the ice cave, there is Necrozma. You get to battle Necrozma.
And catch it if you want, right? This is when you can finally catch it.
This is where you can catch Necrozma. You catch it. And then, what's his name? The scientist guy from the fifth generation, Colress.
Yeah.
Shows up and he goes, oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, take these items. And it allows you to fuse your Necrozma with Solgaleo or Lunala.
Dang.
And he's like, yeah, I've had some experience with fusing Pokemon before because he fused Kyurem with Reshiram or Zekrom, which I thought was a nice little touch.
Yep.
And then he leaves. And I think you also get the Necrozium Z. From right there?
Yes.
And then you continue on I guess you could call this the Victory Road, but it's not
Insert
really Victory
theme
Road.
Song here. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Sing it in your heads, everybody.
Nice touch there. So you get through the ice path. You make sure to pick up your ICMZ, and then you come to the outskirts of the whole thing. Then you can go battle the Elite Four. Now, everything's pretty much the same except for one trainer. The first Kahuna, Hal's grandfather, is not one of the Elite Four.
Yeah.
He has been replaced with the Steel-type trainer, who is Sophocles Big Mo or whatever.
Big Mo, yeah.
Yeah, Big Mo. So you get to fight him instead. So you still got him. You got Olivia, the rock type. The ghost chick, because Nanu still has better things to do than do the Elite Four.
Right, right.
And then you get the flying girl.
They don't do anything different with her, do they?
The only difference with her is that when you go get the Fly MZ, she shows up and shows you how to do the Fly Z move. That's it.
Okay. And I was hoping we'd get a bit more of her in this version of Alola, but that's fine.
Same thing with the dragon dude, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you beat that, you go and Professor Kakui shows up. He's like,
"Of course
well,
he does.
You're champion, but you got one more person to face." And he's like, "Me? No, I'm just kidding with you. You don't have to fight me.
JK.
You have to fight this guy. You have to fight this guy, though." And then Hao shows up, and you got to fight Hao.
Yeah. Which, you know, whatever. Hashtag Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
At this point, though, you should know what his team is. So you should know who comes out first. I think it's like the Alolan Raichu, and then you can figure it out from there.
Well, and he's got his Crabominable now because he can actually evolve it now.
Yes. Although you can evolve Crabominable because you can access... Once you beat the Ghost Trial, you can access the base of that mountain.
Right.
Where you can actually evolve the Ninetales, the Sandshrew, or the Crabominable.
Right. You don't have to go all the way up.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. You don't. You can catch Sandshrew and the Ninetales, but you can't... you can evolve them once you get the Icy Stone.
Oh.
You can get them early on. Early enough in the game.
There's somewhere that you can get Sandshrew that was way earlier than I thought it was. So yeah, you can get it pretty early.
Yeah. But you can finally evolve Crabominable earlier than when you're about to go fight the Elite Four, because who wants to have that that one fighting type Pokemon for so long?
That's what I did.
I couldn't do it.
I was so very, the first time I played this game, I calculated my team so well, but then I had to pay for it because both Vikavolt and Crabominable were in my intended team.
Yeah. So once you finally defeat the Elite Four, you become the first champion. Everything's good. You get to go to a little party. Yes.
Why is Hao not considered the first champion?
Because you were the first person to defeat the Elite Four. You were the champion. And then Hao shows up to face you as the champion.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't fight the Elite Four before he fight. Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha, yes.
Basically,
he fights the Elite Four. He's challenging you. You prove you're the champion because you already beat them and you beat him.
Consider it like this. While you're facing the Elite Four, he's fighting another member of the Elite Four.
That makes sense. Okay, gotcha.
So then when you win, you're technically you beat all four right before Hao defeated all four.
That's so frustrating. Can you imagine, like, if you're you, and then Hao shows up and he beats you, and you're the champion for like 30 seconds?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah. So once that's all said, there's a whole after game which is really fun. That's where the whole Team Rainbow Rocket thing comes in, but we will get into that next episode.
Ooh, I shouldn't look ahead in this, should I?
If you want to. something actually I wanted to look up real quick.
Ooh, I'm seeing pretty things. I'm seeing lots of pretty things. You would ask me something?
I had asked you something the other day if you wanted to play a little quick little game or something like that.
Oh my gosh, they brought back the... they brought stuff back. That's all I'm going to say. We'll talk about it next time.
Yes and no.
Okay. I'm closing all of my guides.
I know you're fine.
So I can't cheat. While Kyle gets that ready, I almost bought the other day and then didn't because the internet exists, but I almost bought it anyway. I saw that they had the Ultra Moon and Ultra Sun version Pokedex at my Barnes & Noble for only like $25, and I almost bought it. I like paced the store for like a good 10 minutes trying to decide whether or not to buy it, and then I didn't. But almost. It's so huge.
Okay. So it's not really so much of a game, but it's kind of like a fun little trivia thing. Basically, I'm okay. We're going to try and figure out, like, we all know who the very first Pokemon ever created was, correct?
Oh, I know the answer.
All right, what is it?
Rhydon.
Yes. Now, again, random Pokemon to be, like, the very first Pokemon ever created.
But it makes sense if you think about the little icon. Remember in the very, very original game, the little the little beast icon is pretty much a Rhydon.
Yes. Now, we're just going to go off by, like, I'm going to ask you, who do you think number two, number three, and so on and so forth? And then eventually I'll skip around a little bit, but I'm just curious to see if you can, if you'll be surprised by who each one of these are.
Okay, I'll do my best. I know the first one is Rhydon, because that's like just a trivia thing.
Number two, like, I'll give you a hint, kind of like...
Clefable. Sorry. Yeah. I'm getting really excited.
No, you're fine. Like, this Pokemon, like, you wouldn't be surprised this was the second Pokemon created.
Okay.
I'll just tell you, Kangaskhan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, Kangaskhan's...
And right, yeah.
All right, so... Next one, a little random. You'd never really think this Pokemon would actually be the third Pokemon ever created. I'll tell you this. It's purple, and it's a poison type.
Purple poison type. Is it Nidorino or Nidoking?
It is Nidoran male form.
Okay. There's definitely, like, a theme, right? Like, all three of those are, like, dinosaurish type mammals.
Yes. Next one goes completely opposite. And it is a very Randy-like Pokemon.
Clefairy or Clefable?
Yeah, Clefairy.
Oh, I was so close. I guessed it two spots off.
Yeah, Clefairy is the fourth Pokemon ever created.
I think it's because if you think about those four Pokemon, and you really, first off, like, they all sort of appear in ways in the early games that defy any explanation, right? Like, Nidorino is fighting in the beginning. Rhydon, for some reason, is like a mascot-y type thing.
Yeah.
I know what the fifth one is, but do your hint.
Let me hear what your guess is.
Gengar.
No.
Oh, that would have fit the theme. I will say this,
though. Gengar is in the top 15.
That makes sense. It's all the stuff that's promoted early. Okay.
Number five is the most annoying bird type Pokemon.
The most annoying bird type? Is it Fearow?
Spearow.
Or not Fearow, Spearow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
There's common design elements. That's funny. Right. Okay.
Well, now number six is the most laziest design Pokemon ever.
Ditto? Laziest design. Oh, Pidgey.
Voltorb.
Why didn't I think of that?
All right. Number seven.
Wait, so do we think that Pokeballs were a concept at that point then? Like, the Pokeball itself must have existed?
The original concept for a Pokeball.
Voltorb or the ball?
Original concept for a Voltorb or for a Pokeball was that the top opens and kind of slides into the bottom piece.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So number seven. You did say this Pokemon already. It's a purple poison type.
Nidoking or Nidorino?
Nidoking. Now, notice, like, we already had Nidoran and we have Nidoking, but there's nothing in the middle yet, obviously.
Yeah.
All right. So number eight is a secondary evolution Pokemon.
Nidorino?
Water psychic type. And has an interesting thing on its tail.
Slowbro?
Yes.
I guess there were only really two options for water and psychic type, right? Golduck or...
Yeah, Golduck's not even psychic.
What is Golduck?
Water.
Just water? But isn't Psyduck psychic?
No.
What the...
Yeah. All right, number nine is... Here's a hint. but it's not one of it's not what I'm about to show you.
Ivysaur.
This is yes. Ivysaur was number 9, and then number 10, and I'll stop at number 10, and then I'll go down a little bit. See here, it's got 3 heads.
Dodrio.
And its Alolan form is so much cooler.
Oh, Dugtrio, also false.
It's not Dugtrio.
It's not Dugtrio?
It's not Dugtrio, but it has 3 heads, and its Alolan form is so much cooler.
Oh, Exeggutor. Why are there so many Pokemon with 3 heads?
I don't know. All right. So now, skipping a little bit, well, I'm going to read off a few. Number 11, Lickitung.
Nice.
Number 12, Execute.
Okay.
So I don't know if they were planning on, if they knew when they created Execute that it was going to evolve into Exeggutor, but they had already created the concept for Execute.
Huh. Okay.
13 is Grimer.
Ooh, that's like, Grimer is probably the first one in that bunch that doesn't sort of fit the design theme or the design element.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Okay.
14 is Gengar.
Wow, that's so much later than I would have expected.
And then 15 is the female Nidoran. And then 16 is Nidoqueen.
All right, makes sense.
17 is Cubone.
Makes sense.
18, Rhyhorn. 19, Lapras.
Yeah.
20, Arcanine. 21, Mew.
Okay, yeah, see, like, it's interesting because you can tell that they're, like, thematically, the designs are really strong. Like, if you think about mm-hmm. the ears and the spikes and the eyes and just the way that those Pokemon are constructed, it makes sense mm-hmm. that those are the first 20, with a few exceptions like Voltorb or Grimer.
Yeah. 22 is Gyarados, and I'm stuck saying the numbers, but I'm just going to read down now. Shellder, mm-hmm. Tentacool, Ghastly, Scyther, Staryu, Blastoise, Pinsir, and then number 30 is Tangela. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting.
Tangela, okay.
Yeah.
They don't have anything that's like cute, like cutesy yet.
Well,
I guess Clefairy is cutesy and Mew is cutesy. Yeah.
Yeah. And the little Nidorans are kind of cute. And so is Cubone.
Yeah. Well, they're cute, but I feel like they're not like. Yeah.
All right. Now.
They don't later become fairy Pokemon.
What it has here for 31 and 32 are 2 Johto Pokemon.
Ooh,
but it has them listed as missing number, basically. So these are probably early concepts for these Pokemon.
Yeah.
Now,
hold on.
One of these Pokemon evolves from one of the Pokemon I've already said. And the other one doesn't evolve at all and is possibly one of the most worthless Pokemon ever created.
Love Disc. Just kidding. I know. But still one of the most worthless Pokemon ever created. Wait, it evolves from one of the ones you already said.
No, these are 2 separate Pokemon. These are 2 separate Pokemon.
Right, but one of them evolves from something you already said, but it's Gen 2.
Yes, but it was part of the Pokemon that I kind of quickly listed off, so if you weren't paying attention, you may not have heard me say it.
Okay. I don't know what it is.
Scizor.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then Shuckle.
Shuckle actually kind of makes sense because I feel like there were some early
mm-hmm.
related to Shuckle.
Yes. So
Shuckle should evolve. And
then, no, it shouldn't.
Into something really effing strong.
No, it shouldn't.
Hater.
Watch the videos on Pokemon Evolution. Trust me, you don't want Shuckle to evolve. It's hilarious.
Hater.
All right. So afterwards, you got Growlithe, Onix, Fearow, Pidgey, Slowpoke. So you start to see like some Pokemon start like filling in, like obviously Growlithe,
right?
The Fearow, the Slowpoke, and you get Kadabra, Graveler, Chansey, Machoke, Mr. Mime, and then I'm not surprised these 2 are back to back, Hitmonlee and Hitmonchan.
Yeah, makes sense.
Skip a few. Number 50, the 50th Pokemon designed, Heracross.
Aww. I wonder why it was passed over for the second generation.
I don't know.
Especially when Pinsir... Sorry, everybody. Heracross is a billion times cooler than Pinsir.
Oh, yeah, obviously. So after Heracross, you get Magmar. And then also number 52, Ho-Oh.
Ooh. I do recall reading something that talked about how the first two generations of Pokemon were largely sort of designed at once. Mm-hmm. And it was more of a sorting and less of a wave.
Yeah, and you'll see as like I'm going, like, now we're going to start getting some more Johto Pokemon mixed in. So Electabuzz, yeah. Magneton, Koffing, Sneasel, Mankiseal, Diglettos, Teddy Ursa, Ursaring, and Slugma.
Whoa.
So I think the first Pokemon that were back-to-back designed evolution-wise was Teddy Ursa and Ursaring.
So at that point, they had a strong concept of what it meant to sort of have stages and evolutions and stuff.
I mean, like, they already had, like, some designed out. Like, Arcanine was designed first, and, like, a few Pokemon were designed, and then Growlithe.
Right, but they hadn't designed them, like, together.
Exactly. This is the first two that are next to each other. Farfetch, Venonat, Dragonite, then Magcargo, Swinub, and Piloswine.
Oh, wow. Wow, all these Gen 2 that are, like, really in there.
Now, have you noticed a certain Pokemon has not been said yet?
Yes, I noticed it for the moment it wasn't in the top 10.
Yes. So, Doduo, Poliwag, Jinx, and then these three, not surprising that they were put together, Moltres, Articuno, and Zapdos.
Kind of surprised Poliwhirl hasn't been mentioned yet. Considering how
after
much
Zapdos
love that.
Was Ditto.
Okay.
Ditto, Meowth, Krabby, and then you got Corsola, Remoraid, and Octillery.
Dang.
Number 82 was Vulpix.
All right.
Followed by number 83, Ninetales.
Okay.
Pikachu is number 84.
All of this, everyone, so that Kyle can say Pikachu's not that cool.
Exactly. It doesn't even make the top 50.
Which makes perfect sense, everyone. They're ranked in coolness based on when in the history they were designed, which is why Rhydon is the number one coolest Pokemon of all time.
Mm-hmm. So Pikachu, Raichu, followed by Delibird and Mantine.
Oh, okay.
And then Dratini and Dragonair, which just goes to show you that Dratini and Dragonair were designed way later than Dragonite.
And I think probably not linked to Dragonite right away.
Exactly. And then they eventually were like, let's just put these two together.
Yeah.
Kabuto, Kabutops. This is kind of where you start seeing like Pokemon, like they already have the idea, okay, we're going to do evolution. Let's come up with like two different ideas and then we'll kind of put them together. So
like fully formed concepts.
Kabuto, Kabutops, Horsea, and Seadra. Then Skarmory, Houndour, Sandshrew, Sandslash, Omanyte, Amistar, Jigglypuff, Wigglytuff, and then you've got Eevee, Flareon, Jolteon, Vaporeon. And then you start seeing, like, they went back. It's like, you already have Arbok, they created Ekans, you already have the Parasect, they created Paris, and then they came back for a Poliwag and created Poliwhirl and Poliwrath. Then there's Weedle, Kakuna, and Beedrill. Then Houndoom, Dodrio, Primeape, Dugtrio, Venomoth, Dewgong, Kingdra, Phanpy, Caterpie, Metapod, Butterfree, Machamp.
Now you're just rapping.
Donphan. Yeah, well, yeah. I'm just going through the list quickly.
I'm very surprised Donphan is not earlier.
Yeah, Donphan's number 127.
Very surprised. Where is this list from?
Bulbapedia.
Okay. Where are they? I'm going to have to go look at that. I'm curious to figure out how they
index
put that all
number.
Together.
Yeah, it's list of Pokemon by index number. Golduck, Hypno, Golbat, Mewtwo is number 131. Magikarp. Now, Gyarados was like in the top 20.
Right.
Or so. And Magikarp is number 133. Porygon 2. Have I even said Porygon at all yet?
Well, they so might the idea they might not have been named. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, but Porygon 2 came out before Porygon. Sandler, Muk, Smeargle, Kingler, Cloyster, Tyrogue, Electrode, Clefable was number 142.
Wait, Tyrogue?
Yes.
That's really surprising to me.
Yeah, that's maybe
the pre-ev.
Yeah.
I wonder if Tyrogue wasn't meant to be connected to them and it felt like an unfinished concept or something.
Well, this one here came out much later, so yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But like still one of the first 150 designed. So this is prior to those being released.
Yeah, I think it was going to go into Hitmontop, which is number 146, so a couple, like six later.
Hitmontop, one of the really early gold and silver concepts, but like very different.
Now we know Ivysaur was like in the top five. Bulbasaur was 153, followed by Venusaur 154. And then after that, Tentacruel, and then you start seeing a few evolution and babies. You got Smoochum, Elekid, Magby, Blissey, Deponita, Rapidash.
This is interesting. I'm going to have to look into where this is coming from. Like, I know it's on Bulbapedia, but I'll have to look at where it's coming from, because some of it's really confusing. Like, some of it's very, very strange to me that they would have had full...
Okay.
Like, there would have been so much premeditation involved to say, we're not going to do baby stuff. We're going to wait until baby...
Well, I think it was like they just came up with a bunch of ideas, and then they just drew them out and stuff like that, but then they had to select a few, and then later on they were like, yeah, oh, we'll put it in later.
I understand that, but if they already had evolutionary chains in mind, like, the fact that Tyrogue wasn't designed in a second wave of designing, or that multiple baby Pokemon had been designed kind of at the same time, but prior to release, like, it'll be interesting to read up on that, because some of it's almost like, it poses the questions of like, well, why didn't you just use those?
So Nidorino and Nidorina weren't created till 167 and 168. Porygon is 170, Aerodactyl 171. Raikou, this is interesting. Raikou is 172, then Magnemite is 173, and then Entei and Suicune follow. And then it looks like they finally came up with the idea for the starters, because you get Charmander, then Squirtle, then Charmeleon, then Wartortle, and then Charizard.
Yeah.
Because they created Blastoise a long time ago.
Right.
But yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm going to look forward to reading more about that, because the order of it is... It poses a lot of questions. I'll have to see if it's like part of an interview somewhere, or if there's ever been something about... Like, some of it I recognize because of data. Do you know what I mean? Like, Rhydon, I knew because it had been mentioned in an interview. There's a bunch of, like, data that supports it.
Yeah,
the same type of data that people mine with, like, Missing No and Cubone and Kangaskhan and all those theories.
Yeah. But there's also, like, you know, the meme of, like, oh, what's the very first Pokemon? Is it Rhydon? Is it Bulbasaur? Is it Mew? Or is it Arceus?
Yes.
And technically, all four are correctly the first Pokemon.
Right. Those options aren't in contention with one another. It's just four different questions.
All right. I got to get going. My wife's starting to get cabin fever downstairs.
Okie doke.
So, if you want to...
Oh, yeah, I guess I should pull that up, right? Like, I wasn't looking at anything this whole time other than my little guide. I should have this memorized by now, everybody. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us on our very first adventure along the Victory Road in 2018. For more information on episodes and contests, or to give us feedback and maybe even some ideas for the show, be sure to find us on Twitter and Facebook at Victory Road Pod. And if there is something in the world of Pokemon you know a whole lot about or want to hear more about on the podcast, let us know. Until next time, we're headed back to the Pokemon Center to, I don't know, like, rest and relax after another successful challenging of the Elite Four, I guess. And to read Nintendo Switch rumors, which we'll talk about next time. Bye.
Happy New Year.
Yay!
This has been another fine production of the 4Ride Radio Network. For other great shows, check out www.4rideradio.com.